if you take a look at, and we've talked about it, but ChatGPT, where you have these hallucinations that come out of nowhere. Well, what happens if there's just a fine tune and now you're ghosted and people can't find your product? That... Hey everyone, this is Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing Rufus AI, Amazon's AI-powered shopping assistant. We're going to be talking about what exactly is Rufus, how does AI search differ from A9 search, and how can e-commerce sellers adapt to AI search? All right. Welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. What the heck is Rufus? Well, we'll be talking about it today. Amazon's AI-powered shopping assistant. Our guest is the founder and CEO of ecomtent.ai. He spent over 6 years working at Amazon. He's held a number of leadership roles, including for the launch of Amazon Business B2B in the UK and owning customer browse and catalog quality for the launch of Amazon in Singapore. And we're talking about one of our favorite guests, Max Sinclair. He's back. And we'll be getting to Max in a second. We just have to have a word from our sponsor. Facing cash flow challenges with your e-commerce business? Discover Viably, your ultimate financial ally. From real-time sales data integrations to immediate funding access, Viably is here to support you. Plan your growth with their free tool for online sellers and engage with specialists whenever you need. Extend your cash flow with Viably. But now, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, just a sec, and welcome our guest, Mr. Sinclair. How are you, sir?
Good, good. How are you doing, Norm?
I hope good.
You're safe inside.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? Kelsey's going to get more experience if this goes crazy. Which I hope it. And I just told you before the podcast that everything kind of went down here. So hopefully it doesn't happen. Before we get started, I always am intrigued with what you're doing over at Ecomtent. Any new thing? Last time you had partnered with somebody with video, and then we were talking about frequently, and you were talking that was going to be an interesting thing. So what's going on over there?
Well, we are days away from launching Ecomtent 2.0. So I'm super excited about this. Watch out for kind of LinkedIn, and I think it's my biggest social, but LinkedIn, Twitter. We've been building like a whole revamp of the tool. We've got some really brilliant full stack developers now full time in the business. So we're doing that. We're also progressing with our patent, which is very exciting. So patent pending on some of the technology we've been building on the lifestyle image generation. So lots of exciting stuff going on. Yeah, it's all good. All good on our side.
Don't forget about us if you need beta users.
For sure. Well, you mentioned your newsletter, Norm. I was reading the clock story. I think it was yesterday.
Oh yeah, that was just last week. Yeah, this week.
Yeah, it's quite frightening. It's just like such a frightening reminder of like how I was reading that and I was thinking about all this legislation that could or could not come out about AI, and it's like something could change like that, and then. So, all this
beautiful can change you in a second. Yeah. My dad was in the footwear business. He made shoe component parts. Mm. And overnight, 200,000 jobs were just wiped out.
Yeah.
And leaving these huge factories, like these where now they're, condos or lofts, but gone.
Yeah. How do you deal with that? Like on some level, like it's unpredictable, right? It's just, if it happens, it happens, and you just got to carry on trying to do the best for your customers. And, what do you think?
Well, I think you've always got to be prepared.
Yeah.
And you've got to be on top of what's happening. So we knew that the NAFTA trade agreement was coming down the pipe. We didn't think it was going to get past that quickly. Mm. And then all of a sudden, literally overnight, my business went down the drain. Like it just closed. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's scary. I mean, I try and stay on top of it all, but there's so much AI legislation and this and that globally coming out all the time. It's a challenge. But anyway, we're focused on the customer and just building a great product and, you know, staying within existing laws and hoping that nothing knocks us sideways, but let's see what happens.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen. But I think any entrepreneur, like I said in the article, you're not an entrepreneur unless you can accept that. So yeah. If you can't get back on your feet, if it's going to kill you, then go with a 9-to-5. Yeah. It's going to happen. One day things are going to happen. You know, whatever it is, it's not just governments coming down and doing that, but self-driving cars. Sorry, Uber drivers, you know, better start thinking. You got to start thinking. But anyway, I'm glad that you got a chance to read that. I love these stories and they're all true. Like all the crazy ones from the bikers to you name it. It's the train bridge playing chicken with the train, all this stuff. But now let's start talking about Rufus. And I told you again before the podcast, I don't know much about Rufus. I really don't. And so I'm glad that you're here to talk about it. What the heck's Rufus?
So Rufus is probably the worst kept secret in e-commerce. It's an AI-powered search that basically, for some beta customers, already exists. For the rest of us, I know you're in Canada, I'm kind of in the UK, we probably don't have it quite yet, but it's kind of a matter of weeks and months before we start seeing this. And it's as they describe it in their press release, it's a AI-powered expert shopping assistant trained on Amazon's extensive product catalog to answer the customer questions and advise you on to shop. So it can do a range of stuff, such as helping you to start a shopping journey, like I want to buy some running shoes, you know, recommend me some shoes. It can do comparisons between running shoes and trail shoes and try and give you a bit more information about the different stuff. It can answer specific questions on product listings, such as are these shoes durable running shoes? So it's going to be basically a ChatGPT trained on all of Amazon's data and by Amazon to help you shop. And it is the future of e-commerce. It's something that we have been betting on at eContent since day one, and we spent a lot of time thinking about this. So I'm happy to kind of, you know, go into a lot of details about how, you know, exactly what I mean by this. But Walmart already launched something earlier this year. As I might have mentioned, like eBay have invested in our business. I know those guys work in something very similar, and now Rufus has come up second. So yeah, it's the future of shopping, and it's not no longer the future because it's here now.
Yeah, it's not going away.
Yeah.
So can you give us a couple of examples? And I know you've already done it, but shopping by, you know, is it by niche? Like, where would you use this?
Sure. So from like a customer point of view, I think there's three key things. There's shopping by occasion or purpose, recommendations, and then like specific detail page questions. So in the first one, you could now start your experience by saying something like, I'm buying, I'm hosting a Super Bowl party. I know we just had the Super Bowl recently for the North Americans. And Rufus can therefore go and clump together the different things you'd need for a Super Bowl. So that's going to be cross-category, right? You're going to want popcorn, maybe hot dogs. I mean, I've never been to a Super Bowl party, so I don't know what else you want. Maybe some hats. I don't know what you guys would do. Scarves. I don't know. But, you know, it's going to clump together your different product categories based on that specific event. Secondly, you can go for recommendations. So, show me a good Valentine's Day gift. Show me a good, child's birthday gift. And you can use Rufus to kind of get specific recommendations for your shopping need. And then the last one is kind of this back and forth that you can have once you're on a product page. You can then ask questions about specific details of the product rather than kind of scrolling through the Q&A or searching for words like that. You can just ask the AI, and the AI, in theory, is going to give you the answers. So, you know, it's going to be in a super experimental phase now, but it's, you know, the way I think about this is I remember when I was at Amazon, I joined in 2016 and we had just launched mobile. And by the time I left, something like 60 or 70% of searches like go through mobile. Most people right. shop on mobile now, they don't, like most people aren't shopping on desktop. And I think if you look at how like Gen AI has been adopted compared to mobile, like the speed is just like 10, 20 times quicker. So I think we're going to start to see the majority, you know, 60, 70% of searches through this AI model in the next few months, by Q4.
Wow. That quick.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. You know, that it's amazing how fast we have to adapt, right?
Yeah.
Or adopt this. And the other thing about what we were just talking about, I wonder the geniuses, and I'm talking about geniuses that are doing the programming. I wonder how much of this is going to recommend Amazon Basics, Amazon this, Amazon over us poor little, you know, micro brands.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't. Did you see the whole controversy with Gemini recently?
Oh gosh.
Yeah. We don't have to go into it.
No, no. But
I think it's clear that, like, you know, inherently all of these models are biased. Like training a model is inherently a decision that you're taking. What do you include? What do you exclude? How, you know, what do you decide to in the training data and then in the fine tuning? Like what behaviors are you going to try and promote? What behaviors are you going to try and stop? And the problem is you do that and maybe your team of 10 or, you know, probably 10 or 15 in Google and Amazon, like at us, it's like, you know, 3 or 4, but you do that. But there's no way you can think about every single, you know, like instance that's going to happen. So that's exactly what I imagine happened with Gemini. They train this model, you know, well, I won't go into the intentions or not, but it started doing stuff that, you know, people, you know, got into the hands of consumers, and pretty quickly they found a little, you know, they found its weaknesses, and that went all over the internet and wiped billions off of Google stock. So it's definitely going to happen. This, these kind of, all these issues. I think it's going to be a massive change that sellers are going to have to adapt to, is that with a AI-powered search like Rufus, you're only going to return, you know, 4 or 5 products, right? You're going to, like ChatGPT, you're going to type in, it's going to give you back some options. You're not going to scroll through 50 or 100 products anymore. So there's definitely going to be issues, and whether they kind of fine-tune the model to always go something 1P, something 3P, something, you know, Amazon Basics, or, you know, however they try and manage that and one sponsored product, you know. But it's definitely going to come at, you know, all change has great challenges, but also great opportunities. So, you know, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, one of the things I'm wondering is your buying habits. So if you're one of the people that like deep discount products, are they going to sell these rather than that person that loves high perceived, high value luxe brands? You know, and all of a sudden they start populating that instead of providing these other brands that might be available as well. It's got my mind going, because I think it'll come down to, tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that this is going to make the seller become more, just a better researcher. They're going to have to probably research their demographic, their audience better. That algorithm, that search is going to be able to populate with your product.
Definitely. I think that's a great one. I'm not sure if that's on my list. I'll have to, you know, go down and have a look at my, you know, my notes, but I think you're definitely right there, that having that research and that customer profile, so that you know who you want to be searching into the Rufus, and like the AI will be smart enough to pick that up, their, you know, their spending habits, their location, their age and whatever else. I think it's totally right. I think that's totally exactly what sellers are going to need to be doing.
So, and what's the difference? What's the, from what you've heard, what's the difference between ChatGPT versus the current Amazon search?
What's the difference between ChatGPT and the current Amazon search? So I guess, I think I did a tweet on this, right? And I, as soon as Rufus came out, I just to kind of experiment with how much a better like customer experience this is, I put the same prompt into Amazon search, the one that is available to me in the UK, and and ChatGPT, which is similar, you know, going to be a similar kind of model as Rufus. And the question was classic book for a six-year-old girl's birthday party who liked dogs. And in Amazon search, it's going to surprise no one, you kind of get a bunch of sponsored products, which are not relevant at all. And then you kind of had the first two organic rankings literally had on, you know, on the impression page, I could see that it was targeted for baby and up. So not at all for six-year-old girls, which I'd put in the prompt. And in ChatGPT, you put in that prompt and you get something like, you know, for a six-year-old girl who loves dogs, I recommend Charlotte's Web, classic novel, while not exclusively about dogs, is a heartwarming tale of friendship and love among animals. So this, like, generative AI is just so much better at understanding intent and concepts. We've all seen it. We've all played with ChatGPT. So I think from a, you know, from a customer perspective, it's going to be so much easier to search like this. And I don't know if you've used Perplexity AI, Norm, at all, or you come across that, but just this kind of conversational search is just, it's just such a better customer experience. And that's why I'm so confident that come to Q4 this year, most, you know, most customers will be opting for that rather than, you know, the current Amazon search.
Right. Just prior to coming on, and by the way, I should mention to the listeners, this was within 24 hours. Like we reached out to you just recently, like very quickly. So this whole topic is perfect because I didn't expect it. And also like you said, you were prepared for this because you're doing some, you know, research into Rufus. So you mentioned that you had some information that you wanted to share with everybody about Rufus. Do you want to go down? I think you prepared a slide. Was that correct?
I haven't got a slide. No, I have a blog, but I'm happy just to talk through some of the points. However you want to do it. Norm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just didn't know. Again, this was very quick, so I wasn't sure if you had the slide or not. All right. For me, one of the questions too, is you've got the basics of AI search and then which I'd like you to touch on. And then the difference about the AI search. Now, let's go into that with a little bit more detail than what we've been talking about.
Sure. So it's funny for me because coming into this seller community world, having been at Amazon, you hear all these myths about A9 and what, you know, like all these folklores about what it does and doesn't have. But fundamentally, A9 search is, you know, it is about keyword matching. Everybody knows that. Like, it's, you're trying to get your keyword phrases matched with what the customer's putting in, especially niche ones. But also, it's, you know, it has other elements of the algorithm which are also super important. So you have sales performance, conversion on ASIN, customer reviews and ratings, in stock, price, and A9 will basically be looking at all of these different factors and therefore kind of ranking and deciding which one to kind of surface the best. So, you know, it's not, as I've said many, many times, and I think people are starting to come around to this, like, it's not about keyword stuffing when you're building a listing, because also, you know, you need to have that actually before that copy perform well. It needs to have good conversion rates and, you know, click-through rates and purchases on that particular copy, so that you're telling A9, like, hey, like, if someone puts in this keyword, this is converting and this is what they want, so therefore rank me higher. So A9 search kind of works in that way. AI and generative AI search is fundamentally very different, and the biggest difference is that it's multimodal. So, you know, A9 search kind of has keywords and then it has all those other factors I'm talking about, but AI search can also do images, right? Which you may know if you've used kind of the multimodal ChatGPT for. And I was listening to a super interesting podcast from the guys over at Shopify, one of the head engineers at Shopify, talking about, like, you know, one of the big decisions that they're doing, and I'm sure Amazon will be doing as well, is how do you weight images compared to text now? So you could have a image of an orange jumper. The text says green jumper, but you may have your roofers to say, okay, I'm smart enough to realize that if someone types an orange, I'm going to show them, I'm not going to show them something, an ASIN that has a picture of a green jumper. It's the first one. I'm going to go for an orange one. So you can be sure that roofers will be doing stuff, looking into the images for color, for context, maybe even for keywords in the future, who knows, and putting that as part of the ranking system. So like when you describe a product, let's say like in the use case for like Valentine's Day, you know, it may know like what a Valentine's Day thing looks like. You know, it might be red or pink and heart shaped and all that, and it can bring that into the search. So that will be kind of a fundamental difference we don't have now. And a smaller point of multimodal is voice search. You know, I'm sure like Alexa will have a kind of a play in this somehow. You know, a very smart Alexa that you can talk to and get far better results now, or even an Alexa kind of like on your phone where you talk to it and like, hey, Amazon, I want to buy blah, blah, blah. And it can, you know, do the roofers based search for you. So that's number one. I can pause there, see if you have any thoughts or anything on that.
No, keep going. Very interesting.
So the next one is about embeddings and vectors. So this is super technical, but generative AI works in a slightly different way to, you know, historical AI. And I think in our first ever podcast, I touched on this a little bit, and I won't repeat myself, but what, you know, like the essence of this is that Gen AI doesn't just store data, but it also interprets its training data and kind of semantically stores this as numbers. But really, it can, you know, it understands the vectors between similar things like dog and puppy and, you know, pet and all these things, without necessarily storing them in the same way as A9 would, with like, you know, on a keyword basis. So the intelligence is far greater, and therefore it can understand intent far better. But basically, like the whole structure of how this is built is entirely different, and it's built on these like embeddings and vectors rather than like this kind of mass kind of lookup that we had before. And yeah, go on.
No. I was just interested in hearing what you're saying. Yep.
And then I think the last kind of big thing which people won't immediately start worrying about, but they're going to start worrying, you know, Amazon sellers are definitely going to start worrying about this sooner or later, is like AI drift. And I don't know if you remember this, Norm, but there was this period where everyone's saying, hey, like ChatGPT's just got really bad, and like I'm putting in my prompts and I'm getting, yeah, you know, like rubbish answers back. And you know, these AI models that they're using, including Amazon search, are not static. They are, you know, they're being new data or new ASINs or like new things that are entering the model. Things are shifting around. They might be fine tuning on doing some experimental fine tuning and updating stuff. So basically, these models are kind of living is wrong, but they're not, it's not like a static kind of A9 formula anymore. These are kind of evolving. It's an evolving thing, and therefore you're going to start to see that, you know, you may be absolutely dominating a particular niche as you're talking about, a customer niche that a seller might be doing, and then one day they're just not even showing up for it anymore, and it's because like the AI has drifted,
right?
Things been changed, like Amazon have released this fine tuning, or that, you know, there's new data in the model, or like something's changed and it's completely different. And that is going to be like, it's gonna like it's just a feature of this technology, and it's going to become like the Wild West. I think the predictability is going to be a lot harder.
Yeah. So you've talked about right now the multi-model. So that's number one, embedding vectors, and then the Gen AI drift, which that scares the heck out of me because that can make or break a brand overnight. Mm. You know, all of a sudden you get ghosted. And if you take a look at, and we've talked about it, but ChatGPT, where you have these hallucinations that come out of nowhere. Well, what happens if there's just a fine tune and now you're ghosted and people can't find your product? It really does scare me, because just think of over the last few years where the algorithm, look what it did to Kevin King, cost him $1 million. You know, he had with Germshark, he had everything covered. He had his butt covered. And all of a sudden the algorithm, even though they kept bringing it back in, algorithm picked up and said, kicked you off. And they gave up on it. I say they, cause he had partners with that. And you see that with other brands. Like I've experienced this with the stupid pesticide thing, when none of certain products have pesticide, but I still get kicked off and I have to figure it out. Especially, you remember when that first happened, it didn't take like an hour to get removed. It took you weeks, if not months, to figure out what the heck this pesticide is, and Amazon wasn't giving it up. So if they change it and all of a sudden this happens to sellers, and if I understand this correctly, they're only showing fewer products to you, sort of isolate that search, man, that could be a lot tougher.
Yeah. I think it's going to be even more unpredictable. Like these algorithms, you know, like Amazon will be designing these algorithms, and whilst they are like may only for the seller be like, oh my God, I've been kicked off, there will at least be some like conscious decision somewhere that said, oh, you know, we don't want any pesticides in whatever. Whereas now, like, these models are complete black boxes. So like they could be changing one thing, which is completely unrelated to pesticides or anything like that. But it just so happens, because of like, you know, I talked about like the way these models think, in inverted commas, with these embeddings and vectors, it like changes some of its brain power there. And suddenly you've got a new, you know, the model's drift and is behaving in a completely different way. And actually, it's very hard to even pick up on this. And, you know, this is something that, you know, anyone who's building on top of OpenAI knows. They change it all the time. It's really hard to kind of keep the consistency. That's one of the big challenges of like building a tech company on top of this technology, is this drift. And I think when, you know, Amazon launched this for, on their site, like, the customer probably won't notice, but as an individual seller, like you're going to notice when something changes and your brand isn't just surfacing for the stuff you wanted anymore.
Right. Okay. It's the bottom of the hour. And if you're new to the podcast, we always give a giveaway at the top of the hour, and it's called the Wheel of Kelsey. To enter the Wheel of Kelsey to get a chance to win the giveaway today, it's hashtag Wheel of Kelsey or tag two people and you'll get a second entry. I already see Michael Vu's already added the Wheel of Kelsey. So that's awesome. Also, if you have any questions about this, let us know. You know, we have Max here, and you know, it's no better time like right now to get to understand Rufus. So just let us know your questions and we'll be answering them shortly. All right. So Kels, why don't I just talk a little bit about start, scale, exit, repeat. All right. I guess I'm talking about start, scale, exit, repeat. There we go. I even got the little banner up. So start, scale, exit, repeat. Buddy of mine, Colin Campbell, entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur for many years. I've known him for probably 25, 26 years. Wrote a book based on his experiences called Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat. It really is. I don't know if he wants me to say this, but it's a reference. It really is a reference guide for entrepreneurs. He goes through and he breaks it down in each chapter, start, scale, exit, repeat, breaks it down in four areas. And then there's subcategories there where if you're starting a business, what do? How do you scale the business? How do you exit it? And then how do you repeat it? Now, he does this in a very unique way. He also has had, 200 plus interviews with a variety of, just a wide variety of entrepreneurs. So as an entrepreneur or as an Amazon seller, you are an entrepreneur. If you want to learn, I would highly recommend this book. Kelsey will put the link to the Amazon listing in the comment section. But I've read it. Kelsey's read it. We've had a few people. I think Luke, who's listening right now, has read it. There's a few people who have bought it, and they agree with me that it's one of the best business books out there. So I'm just going to cut it off at that right now. Just check it out. You can read the chapter on the Amazon listing, and you can go from there. But anyways, there you go. Start, scale, exit, repeat. It's available on Amazon. Max, you going to buy it?
Yeah. I've already ordered it.
All right. Very, very good. Okay. So now, and this is kind of winding down. I want to, my biggest question would be, as an Amazon seller or an e-commerce seller, how the heck do I adapt to this? And what can I do? What can I do to prepare for this?
It's a great question. And I guess we, you know, As I said at the top, we at eContent, we have been betting on this a long time. And I did a pitch recently, well, in January in San Francisco, for the accelerator we were on, and I kind of on stage in front of 600 people, and I was like, you know, AI based search is coming, and everyone's going to need to adapt. And like a few months later, we're here. So it's been a long time in the works that we've been planning for this. So I think the first one is, you know, is very obvious one, but it's kind of just getting the basics right, having quality content on your listing. So now it's going to be more important than ever. It's always been important, but more important than ever to have, you know, high quality and comprehensive written content on the listing. It's an LLM. It's going to be picking this up and reading it and interpreting it. So you want to have good descriptions, good bullet points, clear and concise writing, and just ensure that you have all the, you know, relevant details that you need to have in order to be, you know, that roofers can understand and therefore talk to a customer on your listing's behalf.
Yeah, I think, and I was talking with Kevin about this, Kevin King, and just about the listing images, and he was talking to me about, well, this goes back months ago, but just understanding or having an understanding of what Amazon reads in your images. And there's all sorts of apps out there. And I don't know if you have this built into your app. This might be kind of cool, but what do you see in the image? And based on keywords or based on what you're trying to imply, it might not pick up on that. And so there are a couple of apps out there that you can just upload an image and just ask it, what do you see? And it'll come back. And sometimes you have to go back and play with the image because it's not seeing what you're trying to get across to people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to answer the question, what are we doing? Like, we're thinking about all six. These are the six things that we're thinking about. So we're trying to scale this. And also what we're doing is, monitoring, right? Like we'll be able to monitor Rufus and how things progress, but I'll get onto that. But I think, yeah, the second one, as you touched on, is images, right? Like we mentioned it, this is now multimodal, is going to be reading your images. My guess is that it's going to be putting a much greater weight on images than we had before. Like I remember when I was at Amazon, like seeing a stat once that kind of people spend 8 seconds on average looking at listings. So they're going super quick. And really the majority of the time is like just scrolling through the images, right? So you'll look at the you know, the main image, and you'll go through and try and get some like features and benefits and just understand the listing from that. And like, you probably skim read, if anything, the text. So
right.
Images are now going to become super, super, you know, even more important. And you want to, you know, max out your images per listing, you know, different angles. You want to have lifestyle. So like the AI can understand like how people use it. So when you're searching for, you know, the Super Bowl example, like you have an example of your red cup in a, like a, you know, a party scene. So like the AI understands like, okay, this is what it, you know, how it can fit in. So yeah, getting those images, getting those lifestyles, getting, you know, getting good infographics, that's all going to be super important as well.
Yeah. Just, it was amazing when we went through and we were just playing around with it and just what the AI saw from the image. And it was, in some cases, it was so different, or it came up with alternatives, which, oh, I should add that to my listing. Just kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Oh, by the way, we kind of missed out on the most important thing about the Wheel of Kelsey today. What are we giving away?
Oh yeah. We're giving away, I've been doing this, you know, we've been doing this, this is the third time now, but yeah, we'll be giving away a month to eContent. So, and, you know, experience a new eContent 2.0, which is super exciting. You can connect your Amazon account. We can then basically generate optimized listings eventually for Rufus, when it's, you know, in full scale production, Rufus, that is, in one click. So you can generate lifestyle images, infographics, optimized keywords, text, the whole shebang. At scale. So yeah, that's what we're giving away. And yeah, excited to see, get, you know, get someone else on it.
All right, that's awesome. So 1 month of eContent eContent.ai. It's awesome. So somebody's gonna win that today. Just thought I should say that. All right, let's continue.
So the third one is about customer Q&As. And I imagine most people here have used ChatGPT. We know that it's a Q&A based kind of, that's how they like the natural fine tuning they see. It seems now for LLMs is like this Q&A based thing. Your Q&As are going to become super important. So, you know, get your customers to leave detailed reviews. Get them to like actively engage in Q&As. It's going to help to point Rufus in the right direction, not only in search, but also when, you know, someone is on your listing page and rather than reading your listing now, they're just going to talk to the, you know, the AI. You're going to have those Q&As up and good quality there to help it.
And with the Q&As too, a lot of people don't realize that it's not only written when you respond, you can do a video.
Mm.
So it just makes it a little bit more engaging.
Yeah, for sure. So the next one actually is similar to, you know, is similar to what you talked about. And I think actually you phrased it a lot better than I have it here. So I have it as emphasized in niching down, but I prefer what you were saying about really knowing your customer and journey. So I think as you said, Norm, like you want to do the research. You want to know what the problem you're solving is for your customers and why they're searching for you, and enable Rufus to surface you when that niche comes up. So you want to be super focused on your use case and have Rufus just, you know, surface your product as one of the five in that, you know, for that use case.
Okay, very good. Next.
Next one. So, and this is really, I think, where I think the value long term of someone like eContent or you know, another competitor, I'll say, to be fair, will come in, which is you're going to need to have regular updates and optimization. We know that these tools, like this AI is going to drift. Anyone who's used AI has experienced this, and we've talked about, you know, the technical reasons why it happens. So I think staying on like this, like auto refresh quarterly, monthly, this is going to be super important in order to just keep yourself kind of in the, you know, in Rufus's beam and in its vision. You're going to want to be But yeah, on top of the listings and making sure you're still being discovered.
Okay.
And then the last one, which is kind of hopefully some good news. I don't know if this, I hope people don't find this stuff scary. I think, you know, I always like to think of opportunities. And I think one of opportunities is changing in PPC. And, you know, I've discussed this before, but I really believe that like the whole business model of kind of PPC is going to fade away with these LLMs like Google, you know, Google in particular, where, you know, people are not going to be wanting to look at tons of sponsored products and links or whatever, or paid advertising. They just want to get their answer summarized for them in a really clear way, like Perplexity AI does. And I think, you know, it's totally the same on Amazon. And I think Amazon has a massive benefit versus Google, which is they have other revenue models that work really well. Obviously, referral fees, which I'm sure everyone listening knows, you know, is pretty familiar with. Storage fees, you know, fulfillment. They also have AWS, which is absolutely booming. So I think for Amazon, it's not going to be that hard for them to say, you know what, we're going to really pull back on the PPC and just focus on having the best customer experience and search experience online with Rufus. And I hope for Amazon's sake, being, you know, ex-Amazonian, that's what's happening and that's what the leadership is saying, because Rufus can't work if you have tons of sponsored ads there. But the knock-on effect is, you know, you're going to have to be evolving from PPC. You're going to have to be thinking about the other stuff we talked about, you know, more research about your niche, more refreshing, better images and content. And hopefully the PPC side of stuff becomes less impactful. And, you know, you're focusing on other ways of advertising in the long term.
All right. Very good. Kels, I think we could probably get into some questions.
Yeah, let's get into some questions here. We got a bunch coming in. Let me just remove. There we go. Okay, so our first question is from Matt. Good to see you, Matt. He is saying, do you think Amazon is planning to have Rufus replace the traditional search experience altogether?
So, firstly, hi, Matt. I was with one of your colleagues last night. We eContent organized its first ever drinks, and we had one of them there, so it's great. And I hope to catch up with you soon. But Matt, the way I view it is this, like, you know, Andy Jassy took over from Jeff pre-COVID, and it was hard to, you know, being in the company at that time, like, Jeff had such a cult of personality around him, and he would do like quarterly stand-ups and, like, you know, maybe, you know, now a polarizing figure, but back then when nobody had heard of Jeff Bezos apart from, like, if you worked at Amazon, you know, he would, you know, would talk about customer obsession and thinking big, and there's a really strong culture around that, and it was great. I think now, like, Andy Jassy has the ability, you know, with this AI boom, you know, he was head of AWS for 15, 20 years. He has the ability to kind of take Amazon to the next step, and he's the right man to do it. So I think, like, I think undoubtedly AI is going to play a huge role in Amazon's future. I think it's what's going to enable it to stay number one ahead of eBay, ahead of, I shouldn't say that because eBay are, you know, ahead of some competitors, ahead of Walmart, ahead of, you know, like, it has AWS. It's got all these, it's got armies of engineers and data scientists and all the rest of it. So I think it'll be a huge part of the strategy without a shadow of doubt in my mind. It's, you know, it's a way to marry these two kind of quite different organizations of AWS and Marketplace. And I, you know, these discussions, like, whispers internally of, like, oh, is AWS going to split and, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is a way to kind of bring a big company together. And so I think it's a massive part of the strategy. I don't think it will replace it completely. I imagine you'll have a world where you might, you know, have Rufus first and then, like, have traditional search afterwards. I think, you know, so I don't think it will replace it completely, but, like, I think I would not be surprised if this is what that, you know, what they're betting on, and this becomes the main way of doing things.
All right. Next question.
All right. I just want to say a quick hi to Trevor. He says he's jumping in late, but he's looking forward to rewatching this. Next one is from Cool Hand. Is Rufus an Amazon made tool or a third party tool? Is it a Chrome injection?
It's an Amazon made tool. Amazon, you know, will have a massive team behind this. It's 100% Amazon made. I think it sits in, you know, the main Amazon website, probably in the search bar. It will literally be on your search bar.
Okay, next question is from Pyro Ants. Hasn't Amazon taken away the Q&A section on Amazon?
Yeah, no, you can still get to the Q&A section. So let's say you're on Amazon, you go past the A+, and you'll see an area where is a field where you can add a keyword, you could add a question, but when you search, then it'll come up, it'll show you all the answers, related answers. And then it'll say post a question. So you can still definitely do that. And, if you're a seller, you can respond either by writing back, which I always recommend, you know, good, bad, or ugly reviews always, good, bad, or ugly questions, I would be definitely talking about. And I would try to put a keyword in there. And you can also do it by video or both. So that's how I would work with questions. So it's still there. You just have to find it.
Yeah. And they've been experimenting a little bit with the layout. At least I've been seeing.
I think it sucks.
they're constantly experimenting and split testing, because you know, for Amazon, like a 0.0002% increase in conversion of some new layout is you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. So you know, that'll probably continue for a long time.
Yeah, so Max, like, you know, you're saying that, right, with the Q&A, mm-hmm. most people aren't gonna hunt for it, right? So when I first noticed that they changed the format, it took a little bit of time to figure out, where did it go? You know, how do I get to it? It doesn't tell you. But once you get to it, I can see why they did it. But it was so easy when it was just scroll. Okay, here's the question area. Okay.
Okay, we have one last question from Matt. How else can listings be optimized for Rufus? Should there be a focus on conversational copywriting?
Yeah, so I mean, to summarize, at least how we've been thinking about it, and I say this, we've not just been working, you know, obviously Rufus is in like a beta stage. We've been working with like LLM search, some you know, third party companies who are doing this just to see how what works best. And it is, as you say, comprehensive content in a written sense, visuals, as we talked about, it can now search visuals, leveraging the Q&A, having that like customer research and journey and niche, doing regular updates for this drift and optimization, and also kind of thinking about how your ad strategy is going to change, because PPC is definitely going to change. So I think those are the big six ones, at least from my perspective, of how we can optimize for Rufus.
All right. And I think we got one last question.
All right. So this is from
Trevor. Hear the wind, by the way? This is crazy.
No, I don't think we can. But Trevor is asking, sorry if you've covered this already, but do you need to opt into the service? Is there any cost?
I don't think you'll be able to opt out. I think it's just going to be what Amazon will do, what they'll do, right? So I think it'll be, I think at the moment it's in search bar. I imagine as we, you know, they experiment and split test different ways of like doing this and what the ultimate conversion is. I think the meta point is this is going to be the main way that people are going to be searching, in my opinion, by the end of this year for sure. So we'll be very familiar with it very soon, I think.
All right. So Max, I asked each time you come on, I always ask this because you're always in the know, but favorite tools or most interesting tools?
I should have prepared one. Favorite tools.
Yeah, just something that we might not
have seen. I'm going to shout out ProductPinion, because Matt has been on here. He, ProductPinion is a great tool for, you know, split testing. I think in this world of, in this world of AI, you know, human feedback is ultimately who we're selling to, right? Like, you're still selling to humans. We don't have the AI agents making purchasing decisions quite yet. That's, you know, I'm sure I'll be jumping on when we have AI, you know, Amazon AI agent launch, whatever it is, Norm. But for now, we're still selling to the humans making the ultimate decision. So I think, yeah, having a product opinion, it's a great tool.
All right, that's a cop out. But Kels, make sure you contact Matt too. He could be a perfect guest. So
yeah,
get a hold of him. All right, so that's it. I hope you learned a lot about this new roof as AI. I didn't know a lot about it, and that's why I love today's topic, because I got to know it from the expert, the big guy. But Max, how do people get in contact with you?
I am on I'm on LinkedIn at Max Sinclair. I'm recently getting more active on Twitter, Max Sinclair 4. Those two are the biggest ones. I'm on your WhatsApp group, so you can just tag me and WhatsApp me there. I love the conversations on the group. It's actually really helpful. Like the other day, I had a customer who is looking to exit, and I had like five or six people, you know, just being super helpful and like pointing me in the right direction for them. So it's a great community.
That's great. Good to hear.
Yeah.
You know, the other day, I was looking for something, a PPC agency. Now I know that's opening up the floodgates, right? But I was looking for something very specific, and I think I got 15 people that had commented back. And just today, if you take a look about the question about the reimbursements, I didn't know there was that many reimbursement companies out there, but it was interesting because it was just a group of people that nobody was soliciting, which I loved. And that's what I love about the group,
yeah,
is that they're giving unsolicited advice, right? Mm-hmm. Which is super. So a little shameless plug for the WhatsApp group. If you're interested, you know, head on over to the Lunch with Norm WhatsApp group. And I'd love to have you on there. Especially love to have you if you engage. Okay, sir. So I am going to read just a quick ad read, and then we'll come back for the wheel. All right, Kels. All right, this is for Seller Basics. Hey, Amazon sellers, ever faced with account suspensions, ASIN hiccups, or IP headaches? Introducing Seller Basics, your Amazon accounts guardians, which is $99 per month, or with code NORM, that's a pretty difficult one to remember, code NORM, you'll get $10 off, $89 a month. Seller Basics offers a dedicated team to shield your business from these challenges. Plus, this membership offers free legal consultations from seasoned e-commerce attorneys. No long-term contracts. Cancel with just a month's notice. View Seller Basics as your Amazon account health plan. Check it out at sellerbasics.com. Now for the disclaimers. Seller Basics isn't an insurer or law firm. Consultations come from independent firms. Results may vary, and membership is needed before events leading to claims, and terms apply. All right, let's go over to the wheel.
It's time for the Wheel of Health.
All right, that picture's getting old, Kels. I think you were 12 then.
Look like that. That also has the COVID hair when we weren't able to go to the barbershop. So I need to update that. All right. So thanks everyone for entering. Max, you have a podcast too.
I wish you're coming on next week, Kelsey. It's very exciting. Yeah. So we just launched a podcast. It's focusing on AI and e-commerce. Thank you. There we go. So I didn't think you'd promote another podcast, but that's very kind of you. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So if you can, if you want to check that out, it's called New Frontier, the AI for e-commerce podcast. And your co-host is also a guest of the podcast, a friend of the podcast, Joe. Yeah. So Joe's going to be on in 2 weeks from now as well. So that's going to be great. As always.
I've covered it.
All right. So let's shuffle this up. And
all right, who's going to win?
See who the winner is. We do this every episode. It looks like we have a new winner.
Jessica. All right. Jessica. Congratulations.
So Jessica, you are the winner. If you can email me, k@lunchwithnorm.com, we'll connect you with Max. And congratulations.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you, sir. It was awesome that you even answered the email to get you out of here in such short notice, but really appreciate you coming on.
Want more great information? Don't forget to subscribe by clicking here. Also, if you want to check out our latest podcast, click over here. Lunch with Norm.